Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Caregiving Gen X Style. I'm Steve Mullen.
And I'm Jennifer Mullen.
You know, no matter how healthy your loved one is, there's a fairly decent chance as they get older, they'll find themselves in the hospital for some reason or another. In this episode, we're going to give some tips for being the best hospital caregiver you can be. But first, Jennifer, how is your mom?
She's doing well, Steve.
Really? Is she?
Yes.
I'm glad to hear that.
I love that I get to say that on many, many episodes. Had a nice visit with her today. I did something that you don't really actually like to talk about.
I don't like to hear about it.
All right. Well, but...
Go ahead.
Okay. So I gave her a foot bath. Ugh. She has one of those like plug-in little, you know, vibrating...
And Gaggy, if you're listening, it's not you. I hate feet of any kind. In thinking about bathing someone's feet, I know it's a religious thing. It can be.
It can be, yes.
But in this case, it's not, and it's still, God, it just grosses me out.
But, right, it needs to be done, and she is so appreciative after we've done it, right? It's hard for her to lean over and, you know, clip nails and, you know, do all the things you do when you do, like, a pedicure. So anyway, did a foot bath today. I was starting to say she has one of those little plug-in things. You just fill up the water, and then it vibrates, and it heats the water. It's really quite lovely, and then do everything else to kind of do a pedicure. But it made me think today. So she also does go to a podiatrist like once every 2 months. We go to a place that specializes basically in elder care, gerontology, I guess. They have specialists who come in regularly. Podiatrist comes in, you know, every 2 months, and she has an appointment with her. And last time we had an appointment, she needed to get fitted for new diabetic shoes. And so, you know, we're in there and we're talking with the nurse who was going to do the fitting. And, I'm just as serious as I can be asking a question. I'm like, so what do we, like, how is this going to work? Like, you'll come back with the mold things and, like, we just take her feet off and we have to go.
Her feet off.
Keep doing
just take whatever. Her feet off.
And I'm the only one, like, it didn't register with me right away. Mom starts laughing. The nurse starts laughing. They're looking at me like I have two heads. And I'm looking back at them like... I don't understand what's so funny.
What did I say?
And then I realized, feet, right. No, feet. Meant we need to take your current shoes off to get fitted for the other new shoes.
Right.
So, you know, whatever. You find the humor where you can.
Sure.
And I will say that ever since that podiatry appointment, because we've had a couple since then, we get quite a giggle out of it.
I think Gaggy has enough other problems to avoid. She wants to avoid having her feet taken off.
Yes.
I mean, she's got enough problems to deal with.
Yeah, don't think we want to do that. So, but, you know, we found some humor in it and we get a giggle out of it. And, you know, it's kind of a funny memory for us to file away. So, but how's your mom, Steve?
Well, I think you know.
I do.
So, since the last episode was recorded, Nana had to go back to the hospital. This time, sad trombone. Basically, what happened this time, she got... an upper respiratory thing, bronchitis. They said they thought it was pneumonia. Then the doctor said, I don't think it's pneumonia. I think it's bronchitis. Regardless, she had a lot of fluid in her lungs, and it was affecting her oxygen levels, and they sent her off to the hospital.
Yeah, but can we talk about the lead up to sending
I really wasn't going to get into that, but yes, she's supposed to have access to a nurse practitioner at her assisted living facility on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And on Wednesday, she was coughing her head off, and she asked to see the nurse practitioner. Nurse practitioner never shows up. She asked on Friday to see the nurse practitioner. I came in on Friday at, I don't know, 3:30 or 4 o'clock. She said, I asked this morning, and I still haven't seen her. I walked up and asked to see. I said, because my mother has a very wet cough, and it's really bad, and I'd like for her to see someone today.
Advocating
never
for your loved one.
Never showed up.
Yes.
It keeps getting worse on Saturday. She tried to call Dispatch Health, which I think we've talked about. They will come to you, and it's basically like a doc in the box in your house.
Yep.
But they were full on Saturday. She called on Sunday, which, by the way, this was Easter Sunday. She actually managed to get someone to come see her on Easter Sunday, which is just
shocking.
Astounding.
I think they had a cancellation, right?
They did, yeah. And they came in, they said, hey, you got pneumonia. We're going to give you an antibiotic. We're going to give you a steroid. We're going to give you a cough suppressant. And then they came back 2 days later for a recheck, and she'd gotten worse. So they said, off to the hospital with you.
Right. Probably could have been avoided. So that was a whole frustrating
thing.
If
she had gotten on antibiotics or something on that previous Wednesday, we might have been able to avoid that hospitalization.
Yes.
And I'm very upset about it. Supposedly, it was the nurse practitioner's last week. I don't care. Yep. Supposedly they're bringing in another one and they're adding a doctor on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Well, that's great, but if you never get to see them, it doesn't matter if they're there. Mm-hmm. So,
and you wrote a strongly worded letter at my suggestion.
I did a strongly worded letter, and I did have a sit down, come to Jesus with the administration. And I don't know what's going to come of it. I know there have been, there's another family that has also had to have a come to Jesus the next day about healthcare there.
Yeah.
So,
well, my whole point was write the letter with a time and date stamp, because you did that after Dispatch Health came. Mm-hmm. You did it the day after you submitted the letter.
Right.
Saying, very frustrated. This is not how this healthcare is supposed to be working. And then it was the next day she got sent to the hospital. So I was very glad that you had a time, date, stamped letter with that complaint.
I dropped it off on Easter Sunday. I knew they weren't there, but I said, can you please put this in their mailboxes? And then I saw them the next day, and there was a lot of scurrying around going on because of that letter. Mm-hmm. I sat down and was talking. There's a new executive director. I know of the interim one. He's on his way out. The new one's coming in. And I sat down and was talking to the new executive director, and I saw the interim one walk by. He said, just hang on one second. Let me gather up everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, well, I got their attention.
Yeah, it absolutely should have gotten their attention. And I think they were probably a little nervous the next day when she was officially sent to the hospital because they knew they had fallen down on their job.
Right, and I'm not going to forget this.
No.
So anyway, she was in the hospital for, I don't know, 5 days, 4 days, 5 days. And then, of course, because this is just the way it works, she had to go to skilled nursing and rehab, a SNRF, after that. And
by the way, pause, squirrel moment. I just realized we've been doing this for more than a year. Assisted living facility.
Yes, ALF.
Have we said that before?
I don't think people actually pronounce it ALF. I think it's just an ALF. Yeah, people do say that.
Yes, but ALF is way more fun to say. Sure, so now we have ALF and SNF or SNRF, if you have to say SNRF. I prefer SNF.
Nana insists that I say skilled nursing and rehab. She doesn't want to be in skilled nursing, but she understands the rehab portion of it.
Fair point.
Anyway,
so now we have an ALF and a SNRF. I love it.
They had to wean her off the oxygen, which took several days. I think they slow rolled that a little bit more than they needed to. But and then she started her PT. And as of the time that we're recording this, she should be home in 2 or 3 days.
Let's hope.
So, yeah, let's hope. It's been, she was really, in between the time that she got out of the SNRF last time and the time that she went into the hospital this time was only about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, I have been run ragged.
Yes, you have been.
So.
Yes.
Anyway, we will update that. Oh, I did have one quickie. I know this is running really long with the How's Your Mom, but I did have a little quickie fun story. So, while she was there, while she has been there, there were two other ladies from her ALF.
ALF.
Who are also in the SNRF. Wow, this is getting kind of confusing. but one of them is somebody who sits at her table in the dining room.
So she had a friend.
And that woman's daughter is always around and just loves my mom. And there was also another woman who mom is friendly with. And I kept saying, well, mom, we need to get you off this oxygen so you can go out to the dining room and have dinner with them. And I mentioned it to them, and I mentioned it to mom. I felt like I was setting up a play date.
Yeah, well.
I really kind of was.
Yeah.
I was hoping they would all get together and enjoy themselves, but it really kind of like a play date when the kids were little.
Well, your mom was a little down in the dumps, understandably.
Was.
So obviously having to go back to a SNF, SNRF,
a SNRF,
whatever.
Yeah.
But so, you know, if there was a friendly face there,
yeah,
you might
it
as
was
well
nice.
Set up the play date.
It was nice that they were there, that she knew some people there. But frankly, we've been there so many times, she knows all the staff at this point.
That is true. She does.
All right. So between Goggy and Nana, as I just was talking about, we've spent more than our fair share in hospitals over the last few years, and we feel like we've learned a few things. We did talk about hospitals back last year, some months ago, with our daughter, who is going to be graduating from college in less than a month, and then will soon after that be a registered nurse. But we had her, if you've listened to it, we had her on the show talking about how things were from the standpoint of the employees.
Right.
We're going to be talking a little bit more from the caregiving side of it this time. And, you know, we're going to be talking about what to do in hospital stays, whether they're long or whether they're short. So, first thing is what?
Plan ahead.
Plan ahead.
Definitely. You don't need to have bags packed in advance, although I have thought about that more recently.
Seriously, it's not the worst idea.
But, you know, like a Boy Scout, Girl Scout, always being prepared. This is a great idea because in our experience, you just don't know when a hospitalization is going to happen. So having a few things ready to go is key. This is a big one. And actually, this isn't even just hospital stays. Frankly, this is every doctor's appointment that I take my mom to or my brother takes my mom to. You know, you could have a folder set aside with an updated medicine list along with any, you know, allergies that your loved one might have. You are not likely to remember all of the medicines when you're in an emergency room or even when you go to a doctor's, you know, appointment. And if you're stressed out, you might even forget what they're allergic to, which I can't even remember what you're allergic to.
I was just about to ask you.
Even when
it's a mild allergy, but it's annoying. What is it?
Sulfa.
Oh, I got it right. There you go. Makes me itch all over.
I get a gold star.
Your penicillin.
Yes.
I know that.
I know you do. But anyway.
Because I'm the best husband ever.
Absolutely. Of course. And I'm just awful that I can't remember.
Fall down on the job sometimes with that sort of thing. It's not going to kill me, but I would be very uncomfortable.
Yeah. But seriously, though, like I think about it when I go into a doctor's office with my mom. And actually, my mom is really good about remembering it. But you know, she is on a long, very long list of medications. I mean, there's probably, I am not exaggerating when I say probably 10 different things between day medicine and night medicine and ones that she takes both times a day and then shots of insulin. I mean, there's a lot. There is a lot. And they are always so appreciative no matter what doctor's appointment we're going to. I mean, we had the list of medications when we went to the dermatologist for the whole basal cell carcinoma
thing. There you go.
When we go for regular checkup, of course, her primary physician has all of that. But it is very, very helpful to have it all written down, dosages, when you're taking it. It's really, really helpful.
We didn't have, typically, when you're in an ALF, or when your loved one is an elf.
Please, could you please call it an elf?
I just picture that NBC show with the fluffy thing that ate cats.
That's why it's funny. Right, that's why it's funny to me.
Anyway,
okay.
When your loved one's in an elf, typically when they go to the hospital, they will send a list. But actually this past time, because she was actually sent by Dispatch Health, there was some scrambling around and they didn't send the list over. But thankfully, the hospital is literally across the street from her assisted living facility. And so they just called over and got it.
Okay.
So it worked out fine. But anyway, another idea could be in that folder with the list of medications would be to have a photocopy of your loved one's insurance cards and photo ID.
Yes.
It's not really the best way to go, but it's better to have the real copies and bring those with you. But if you're scrambling and forget, at the very least, you have that. It's something.
Yeah, it's something.
Something's better than nothing.
Yes, absolutely. So also, if your loved one is likely to be frequently hospitalized.
Like Nana lately.
You might really consider having a small duffel bag with, so I know we talked about clothes, you know, maybe that's not always practical, but at least with some personal items like a brush or a comb, toothbrush, toothpaste, deodorant. You know, they do give you these things often at the hospital.
Oh, but they're crappy.
But yeah, the toothbrushes
in particular.
They're terrible. And I remember it might have been maybe the first time that your mom was in a snurf. I remember going out and buying dry shampoo to take over to her and a comb so that we could like put dry shampoo in her hair and comb her hair because she just felt awful.
Yeah.
She already felt terrible. And your mom is someone like she just has she's always put together, always has the matching jewelry.
Yep.
She's, you know, everything. Not that she's,
she's not vain.
It's not that, but she just always
likes
put together. And
yes.
You know, it does feel crummy. Shoot, I know how it feels when I wake up in the morning, I have bedhead. Like, doesn't feel good. You want to run a brush through your hair.
The great thing about the SNRF that she's at is that it's also a lot. They have a short-term care and a long-term care wing. And because of that long-term care wing, they also have a salon. And they will do hairstyling and stuff. And she, on Wednesday, got her hair shampooed, blown out, and styled.
Oh, this past Wednesday?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, and the funny thing,
she did look really nice today when we saw her.
Right. Yeah, we took her lunch today. But she called me that night and gave me an update on something with PT. And she said, oh, by the way, I got my hair done and I look pretty.
Aw.
Yeah. And I saw her the next day. She looked a lot better. Because you know what it's like. When they're in the hospital for 4 or 5 days, they just look grubby by the time they get out.
Yeah, and speaking of, sorry, but slight squirrel, your poor mom, because I hadn't seen her since this had happened. I'm sitting across the table from her at lunch today.
Yes, that was another
thing. She lost a crown.
Yeah, she was when she was in the hospital, she took a bite down on a grilled cheese sandwich of all things. Oh. And one of her front crowns fell out.
Yep.
And it's one, you know, the front. So yes. You can't hide it.
The hits just keep on coming. Yeah,
so as soon as she gets back, I have to get her to a dentist, which is going to be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, you know, I have actually thought about putting together some little duffel bag with like, you know, a spare toothbrush, because I know exactly what to get her now, what I have to go back and get her if she's going to be someplace for a couple of days.
Yes.
She needs her comb, she needs her pick, she needs her hand mirror, she needs her toothbrush, her toothpaste. And if she's going to be there a little while, probably some nail file stuff. And, you know, I know what to get her at this point.
It's kind of the same way I keep my little overnight kit, like packed, that I grab if I'm going to travel somewhere. Like all of that stuff is in there, right? I don't have to remember to take it from our bathroom. I've got it ready to go. It's the same kind of thing.
I have been thinking about that.
Yeah.
So another idea, though, if your loved one does puzzles like crosswords, my mother loves word searches, Sudoku or something, maybe. Also, if you're actually going to put a bag together, throw a fresh puzzle book in there. Just something for them to do other than sit and watch the Food Channel while they're eating stupid hospital food.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe even, I don't know, a couple of magazines that aren't like magazines that, not like a People magazine that's going to be dated.
Ridiculously out of date.
But something, I don't know. Can I just say, though, when we were talking about this maybe yesterday or the day before, your mom does, however, have an amazing ability to just
shut
sit
down.
Just sit.
It really is shocking.
But it reminded me, I told you, it reminded me of your grandmother. Yeah. I remember your grandmother was the same way. She could just sit.
My mother is her mother without the bad attitude.
Yes.
And it's really, they are kind of the same person, except for that. My grandmother was not an easy person to deal with. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, really, during the day in the hospital, I don't think she even had the TV on. And I'd walk in and I'm like, what have you been doing for the last 3 hours? And she's basically just shut down.
Yeah, it's like she mentally. It's almost like, you know what? Maybe it's like meditation, actually. She just kind of puts herself on a different plane.
I can tell you exactly what it is. It's worrying about A, B, C, D, planning A, B, C, D, and then it all gets unloaded on me when I get there.
Yeah, so that part's not good. So, so back to the take something to entertain them while they are in the hospital. So, well, here's a really, really good one that we want to talk about. And that is, make sure that you see the doctor. Now, that might sound a little silly, but here's what we're talking about. And this can be kind of a tough one because, you know, while you're sitting with your loved one in the hospital, you know, you, of course, want to be in the room when the doctor stops by. But this can be really hard if they're there, you know, in a regular hospital room, regular hospital stay. The doctor may only come by once a day.
Once a day.
And it may not always be the same time every day.
It's always a different time.
So, you know, try asking the nurse when the doctors typically see patients, because they may be able to give you a clue. Now, I will say, in my experiences with moms with Goggie's hospital stays, typically it has been, you know, sort of first thing in the morning, which is the, you know, that's why my brother and I have always like gotten, one of us is always up and there early. And it does seem like it's like first thing in the morning, because you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss their, you know, start of the day round.
Right. I mean, in this last stay, you know, it was typically around 9:30, between 9:30 and 10:30, I found.
Yeah.
I think I missed the doctor once.
Right.
But all the rest of the times I actually saw them. So I kind of figured out, and you will figure out the pattern if they're in there for days.
But also, you know, ask the nurses. I mean, they're going to know. And I think it could vary depending on, you know, ICU, regular hospital stay, wherever it is. Well, although actually,
speaking of ICU, that is way easier because most of the times in ICUs, the medical team does rounds. You know, they'll go from room to room and it'll be the doctor, it'll be the social worker, it'll be that somebody from nursing, it'll be somebody from PT, and they all go from room to room and just discuss.
They
each
travel in a group,
pack,
in a hive.
Yeah. And
it's like you see on TV, frankly.
Really,
you
is.
See that on TV, like medical shows on TV.
And if you can figure out when rounds are, be there, because you could stand right in the middle of it and get everything at once and ask all of your questions at once. And everybody's there. And I really, when my mother was in the ICU, that was so stupidly helpful.
Yeah.
Because it was at 10 o'clock every day. I knew around 10 o'clock, they were going to be doing rounds.
Yep.
It doesn't work that way with the regular rooms. I actually asked, why don't they do rounds? Well, they do actually get together in a clump, but it's elsewhere. It's like in a meeting room or something.
Yep. Well, and while they're there, definitely do not be afraid to ask questions.
Absolutely.
Because that's when you have them. They're standing right there in front of you. Ask the questions.
And don't be afraid to question the doctor's decision.
Definitely.
And I've got an example of this one.
Yeah.
So my mother at one point, 2 years ago, was sent to the hospital because they thought she was anemic. Her iron levels were low. They called me. They said, we're sending her to the hospital. Her iron levels are low. She's anemic. She's got to get this checked out. So I rushed over there, got over there, waited for hours to see somebody in the ER because she wasn't really an emergency case. Got back there. They did blood test after blood test after blood test. Finally, the doctor comes out. The ER doctor comes out and says, well, yeah, you know, her iron levels are a little low and I'd like to keep her overnight. And I will say, let me back up just a second. We had determined that when she moved from living independently in her own house to the ALF, they did not give her iron pills. She used to take iron pills. She wasn't taking them anymore.
Right.
And we realized this while my mother and I were just sitting there. She said, I don't think I'm taking those iron pills anymore. So anyway, he comes in. He says, well, I think we want to keep her overnight. I said, well, here's the deal. We've determined she used to take iron pills. She doesn't take them anymore. If I promise you she'll start taking iron pills, can she go home? He said, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And then she left.
Right, because it was a relatively, wasn't an emergent situation.
And by the way, she left in a huff. She said, I don't know, she had said about 20 times in the way home, that was the biggest waste of time ever.
Yeah.
But, well, and it was.
Yeah.
It was. She was in a mood from that one.
Well,
let me tell you
of course. I totally understand that. Let me mention one other thing, just maybe not entirely a squirrel, but when we were talking about the groups of doctors or you know, medical professionals, whatever their specialty is. And something that's been really interesting this day and last day for your mom is related to physical therapy. And there being, this is why you really have to, you have to stand up and advocate for your loved one, because PT at the hospital, who does not know your mother.
Oof, man. We had a rough time with them.
They don't understand that she is in a wheelchair and she basically has a leg that, you know, that just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So they're thinking that they're trying to get her to some whatever baseline level it is that they have in their head. And you did a really good job this last time of being able to say, what is it you're working toward? Because if you think that she's going to stand up and like take steps across the room, like that is not the kind of physical therapy we are working toward. Like she doesn't walk.
The first time they saw her, they came in and I missed this one. Because it was first thing in the morning. It was like 8:30 in the morning and I wasn't there yet.
You're not a morning person.
I am not. Apparently, though, they got her sitting up at the edge of the bed and they had, you know, monitors on her the whole time. And they said, well, you know, and by the way, she was still having trouble breathing at this point. She was coughing a lot, wet, nasty cough. And she also has a heart condition. She's got congestive heart failure. I always forget, and AFib.
Yeah.
But they got her sitting up on the edge of the bed and they said, well, her heart, they noticed the heart rate went up and they said, well, I don't think we want to do anything else to stress you out. So they had her kind of moving around on the edge of the bed a little bit, doing something. And they wrote in their notes, she has to go to skilled nursing because of this. Her oxygen levels were low, which stressed her out. She was probably anxious just because she didn't know what they were going to want her to do. She gets like that. She needs to know the plan up front. They automatically just said, you need to go to skilled nursing because of this.
Yeah.
And that was like day two in the hospital, by the way. I'm still irate about that. And I actually did talk to the PT manager and tried to explain, you know, not everybody that walks in here, not everybody that comes in here can walk.
Yeah.
You're going to have some people that can't walk. And the fact that she wasn't really able to transfer to the chair. They wanted her in the lounge chair because they really want them up and around out of the bed for a little while a day, which is great. I think it's a great idea. But because she wasn't able to stand up and walk over there, of course she needs skilled nursing. Yeah. To what end?
Yeah.
To what end? She's never going to walk.
Right. So I think the lesson in this, speaking of hospital stays, is if you're in a situation similar to this, in any way, shape, or form, whether it's the baseline of where their mind is or where their body is, just remember, because it can be easy to forget that they don't know what your loved one's day-to-day life is like. And there was a bit of a gap in there all was. Of that.
And actually, so a comment from my mother that's related to this. She obviously has been to this SNRF. Oh, well, she's been there 5 times now, which is just crazy to think about. She's been to the same place 5 times.
Yeah, we totally know our way around.
Oh my gosh, yes. My mother happened to mention...
Ooh, they should have like a loyalty card.
Like, oh my goodness, I get that thing punched again.
Yeah.
The next time I get a free footlong sub or something, I don't know.
Yeah,
but anyway, she's, you know, after the couple of days, I've been visiting every day for an hour and a half, 2 hours at least. But after the couple of days there, she said, you know, and I know there's no way around this, but I get sick every time I come here. I have to explain to them how I do things.
Yeah.
I have to explain to them my limitations. And I have to explain that I do things this way. For instance, I use a slide board to transfer. And they want me to get up and walk around, and I can't get up and walk around. And she said, I'm sick of explaining it every single time I come here. And there's no way around that.
No, and
there isn't, but right. I get it. I get it.
But back to the loyalty card, seriously, they could do a loyalty card and you get X number of punches up, and then you get like a free meal up at the local sports bar, which is where this podcast idea all began, right? Yes. Outside of where the.
And we had them up. We got to bring this up now that you mentioned it. We had a moment today. Jennifer and I took her lunch at one of her new favorite places, and then we took her to bingo. Now, if you've listened from the beginning of the show, that's exactly how this podcast began, because we brought her lunch, we sat and had lunch with her, and then we took her to bingo, and we left, and we went to the sports bar, and we day drank, and decided to start, write a book, which became a podcast. All right, moving on. The next thing, be helpful. Be helpful. So when our mother's in the hospital, we try to take things off the nurse's plates. So that way, you know, when we need them to come in and do something, they don't feel like I've been in there every 5 minutes for crying out loud. So that can mean, you know, when you get there, find out where their little kitchen area is.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, but it is worth mentioning
it
again.
It's huge. I mean, you can go in there, you can get ice chips. You can go in there. They have sodas usually in the fridge. They have usually graham crackers or something for little snacks. Once you figure out where that is, if your mother wants a soda, she wants some ice chips, she wants some ice water, you can easily just get it and not have to ask the nurse for it.
And for the most part, they really don't mind,
except,
didn't you have an incident? You were not allowed to cross the threshold.
Oh, no, that was at skilled nursing.
Yeah, well,
that was
whatever.
Some this of these does things, not though, work in skilled nursing, trust me, at least not the skilled nursing my mother's in.
They carry over. A lot of what we're talking about carries over from hospital stays to SNF stays.
But at least at my mother's SNRF, I went up to get her a cup of ice because I'd brought her a soda and she wanted to put it over soda because it was warm. And I stepped up to where their little kitchen area is, and there was like a little half door. And I'm standing in the half door doorway, and I said, and they said, can I help you? I said, yeah, can I just get a cup of ice? Oh, sure. Sir, you can't come in here. I wasn't stepping foot in there. I said, I'm standing right here. I'm standing outside the kitchen. I'm standing right here. I'm not coming in there. So you can't come in here. I know. I'm standing right, please. I mean, it's like the least amount of power anybody's had for a power trip.
Meanwhile, I can also see you being like a total smart aleck. I am not.
I can see
the arm movements and everything. Like, I am not crossing this line. I am standing right here. I can totally see you doing that.
So speaking of food, and we've mentioned this before, make sure you, if you decide you want to bring your loved one lunch or dinner or something, make sure you ask about that before you do that. If they're waiting for lab results, for instance, or they're getting ready to do lab results or do labs or whatever, they don't want them to have anything to eat or drink. So, for instance, the day my mother got to this most recent hospital stay, the dispatch health showed up actually right at lunchtime, and she didn't get a chance to eat.
Right.
And then she went to the hospital, and it's like hours and hours. She said, I didn't eat much breakfast, and I had no lunch, and I'm starving. Can I have some food? And I asked. They said, no, we just took blood. We may have to do something else. And finally, I was able to get her some kind of stale crackers out of the machine. But
well, I think one really important thing is to listen and learn, especially, I mean, you might not know that you started on a like caregiving journey, as it were, the first time this happens, but take it from us. Just listen and you will learn a lot of things along the way. You don't have to have a medical degree of any kind to learn a little bit of the terminology and the measurements that doctors and nurses use. And in fact, actually, that came into play today while we were sitting there having lunch with your mom.
Right.
They checked her blood sugar.
Yes.
we're literally sitting at the table in the dining room eating lunch, check her blood sugar, nurse leaves, then comes back with a shot of, I guess, was that insulin?
It was a small shot of insulin. Yes.
But you spoke right up and you're like, wait a minute, what was her blood sugar? And he told you what it was. And you said, well, but I don't know. I thought if you were at this level, you didn't have to do it.
And right. It's different. At the hospital, they don't give you insulin under 200. And apparently there, though, it's under 150. And she was 176. So they gave her a shot. And I knew that. And, her blood sugar is not typically high. But I've also learned that she's on steroids, right, and that could make it higher.
Yep. Yeah.
So I'm not.
And same thing with my brother and I. I mean, we are very, very in tune to, you know, Gaggi's medications and where certain things are supposed to be and where certain baselines are supposed to be. So thankfully, we do know, you know, when we have had, you know, the times where we've ended up in the hospital or a brief ER stay, like, we do know the things to ask for sure.
Oh, and I mean, from these last two, I have learned so much. Well, the first one was for a gastric bleed, and now I know what's a normal blood levels.
Yes.
And from this one, I now know what the normal oxygen levels are. As our daughter made sure I understood, it's O2 sats, O2 saturation.
Right.
Not O2 stats, because apparently people make that mistake all the time. Mm. It's not statistics, it's saturation.
Right.
She said, don't be the person that says it wrong. So I make sure I say it right. But I know what is normal now for oxygen levels, and I've been keeping an eye on that. So it's helpful, though, because they're going to do, you know, if there's something ongoing, they're going to do labs every day, and you can kind of track how they're getting better. For instance, I knew every day my mother was in the hospital, her oxygen levels got a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. And so it's useful because then you can ask questions.
Yeah. So listen, learn. And as you just said, and as we said earlier, make sure you're asking questions. You don't have to be a doctor. You can play one on TV, though. You can learn enough to play one on TV.
Right.
Enough to, you know, you ask enough questions and you are going to learn those things. And it is really helpful as your loved one, hopefully, is on the road to recovery and getting a little bit healthier. And
speaking of which, our last thing, make a plan for the return home.
Yes.
And this is, you don't think
easy
about
to forget.
It. Yeah, you don't think about it when you're going to the hospital, because it might be an emergency. It might be, you might be in a panic, but you got to think about 4, 6, 8 days down the road, whatever it's going to be, what's going to happen then? You know, if they're in an assisted living facility, maybe they just go back there, but your assisted living facility, like mine, may automatically say, oh, rehab.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of the default thing for them. If somebody's been in the hospital for more than 24 hours, it's annoying, but we won't get into that today. But, you know, what if they live independently? Well, can they live independently after this hospital stay? Do they need someone there with them? Do you need to stay for a couple of days? Is it more than a couple of days? You know, if they need extra help that you can't provide, who's going to provide it? There's a lot of things to think of.
A lot.
Is there another family member that can help out? Maybe the secondary caregiver, maybe this is where you activate the backup.
Yeah.
And just bring them in for a day or something. Another thing, is there going to need to be an additional equipment? Maybe they weren't using a walker before, but now they need one, or at least they need one for a little while.
I think you have to pay special attention, and this, of course, could be anybody at any age, but particularly, so we'll talk about specifically our situation with our, you know, mothers who are 83 and 84. Mm-hmm. Every hospital stay could mean a little bit of loss of something that you might not realize right away. And you do need to be really mindful of that. And even if you don't realize it until after they've gotten home,
right?
Which could definitely happen.
Absolutely.
Like, you have to be paying close attention, and you have to recognize that, you know, they might have lost a little balance, a little this, a little that, whatever it might be, that might then require, like you said, some additional equipment for certain things.
Definitely, if you need to talk to the medical social worker, the whatever they call them at that hospital, because they're the ones that will make that stuff happen.
Yeah.
And make sure, you know, if you're thinking, okay, we're thinking she'll go home on Thursday. On Tuesday, you need to be talking to that social worker and say, okay, I think we're going to need a walker. We're going to need a shower chair.
Yeah.
Can you get that?
I remember, when Gaggi was last in a SNF, which y'all hear me knocking on wood. It has been a while.
It has.
But I do remember when we were getting ready for her departure, talking to I don't remember what they called them at the facility where she was, but yes, basically like the case manager.
I think it's care manager, some places. It's really just a social worker.
But it was, they're like, we'll get you a wheelchair. Yep. You got a walker, rollator, like whatever it was she needed. And I mean, it was like all delivered. I feel like it was delivered there to the facility that then my brother and I just, you know, took home with mom. But yeah, it was like really easy. And I, you know, that's pretty amazing when you are in a middle of, in the middle of a situation like that and you're just completely overwhelmed. It's a good reminder. I know we've had, we've talked about this in other episodes, but you know, there's resources out there.
Absolutely.
Don't forget to rely on the resources.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before. You said it was like a medical equipment fairy. Poof. It just shows up.
It really felt like, I remember that feeling. I remember standing there. I remember it so vividly, standing in the, like the lobby of this facility and just like, oh, like one thing we just like, we don't have to worry about, like it's taken care of. And this is amazing because it doesn't feel like anything's just taken care of, but this one was. So that was awesome. Yeah.
Right. So they can typically help. Make sure you get to know them when you're at the hospital. That's the end of our episode. We've kind of rambled around a lot.
We kind of have
one,
a little bit.
But that's okay. We were having fun.
Yeah. And there's not even a lot of beverages happening
here. They're really, well,
half a glass of wine.
Yep. So thanks for listening to this episode. If you want to get in touch with us, and actually somebody from our listener appreciation episode, the listener questions list, whatever we called it a few episodes ago, Monica got in touch with us.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that in the next episode, I think. We'll talk about that.
Fine.
But fine. Monica, thanks for listening.
Yes.
If you have a question, a comment, inquiry for us, you can get in touch with us. You can email us.
We had feedback too. We got a nice text. So I have a coworker and her husband who we're also friends with outside of work. And he listens to our podcast religiously. And he's on his annual golf trip. And we even got a text from him. We got a beautiful picture of the sun rising over the ocean. And him letting us know that he had just listened to the most recent episode of the podcast.
Oh, and Gagi, actually, her comment, by the way, about the last episode with Christoph, she said it was her favorite ever.
Yep. So we love it. Even if it's not like official listener feedback, I'm going to send you, you know, a whole bunch of comments about a specific episode. We love hearing those things. Like it made my whole day. I saw the sun rising over the ocean and a comment about our podcast and how much he enjoyed that particular episode. So thank you.
So if you want to get in touch with us, email us at caregivinggenxstyle@gmail.com. You can send us a text or leave a voicemail, 804-723-1221. And you can find us on Twitter. That's the only name. The handle is @GenXCaregiving. We're also on Facebook. There's a link in the show notes. That's probably the best way to go because that way you make sure you get to the right page. We hope to hear from you soon. Have a great day.
Good night, everyone.